Run like a wild man.
I want you to struggle, and I want you wrestling with them angels.
Here he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
All right, the correct you're in here. Stadium time is 8:42 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by College and Magnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. It is I, Drew Croson, at CenterCrow2 on Twitter, at CenterCrow on Venmo. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter. The S stands for sick. Is everybody sick? Are you sick?
Yeah, I'm good.
The world is sick.
Shout out to Miles 55, though, for winning the Survivor pool last week. We got to give him some koozies or something. I don't think we ever designated a prize, but...
So it's over already? The Survivor pool's already over?
Oh, yeah, like 5 weeks in.
Speaking of morbidity... So the other side of me giving you the full 4-pay ASMR, coming to you live from another dimension, the AU Chief.
Ichuta.
On today's show, otherwise known as College of Magnolia Total Landscaping, we dive deep into Auburn soccer's loss. Is there a curse? You'll find out.
Crow curse.
On today's show, we'll also discuss what are we going to do now as Auburn, Mississippi State. Breaking news, Auburn, Mississippi State has been postponed. If you're finding that out due to this podcast or from this podcast, you know, we're here for you. Happy to be your source of Auburn news. And also, we might talk a little Auburn basketball, including which NBA team was Samir Dowdy seen visiting today via his Instagram story. But first, let's talk a little Auburn soccer. So we spoke about Auburn soccer last week. Talked about how they had, you know, they'd gone a long time without a loss. They finally got a loss after we talked about them. Then they beat LSU. Auburn beat LSU two different codes of football within one weekend, which is pretty awesome. And we talked about how they were playing four games in 12 days. And one of those was the Iron Bowl of Soccer, which was important for a seeding standpoint. And then they went on the road to the best team of the conference, number 3, Texas A&M. Well, Auburn lost both of those games after we talked them up. To the tune of 0-1 to Alabama and 0-2 to Texas A&M. And limped its way into the SEC tournament, which is, as always, in Orange Beach, Alabama. And that takes place on Sunday, the 15th of November. They'll play the University of Georgia Bulldogs at 5 o'clock p.m.
That's the weekend we should be playing Georgia, so.
Yeah, man. Hear that? You hear that, Greg Sankey? Ryan's mad about that Georgia move.
Yeah, we all talked about how, oh, it's great. We'll get this new offense, new quarterback in week two. Probably would have been better if we played them around this time of year.
Yeah.
As evidenced by what Florida just did to them.
It's the, guys, it's the long game. It's not necessarily about this year's Georgia game. There will be a game in the future where that benefits us, I think. I hope.
Not if it's in Athens.
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe next year at this time in Athens, you know, they're not able to have fans, but Auburn is because of Auburn fans' moral superiority and taking vaccines or whatever. Who knows? You never know. But Auburn is the, let's see, where are we at? We are the 8 seeds. We're in the 8-9 matchup on Sunday the 15th. So,
golly, that...
I know. It's not great. Those two losses really, really threw a wrench in the works.
Stinks. Yeah, yeah. We were poised for
at least a 5 seed. At least a 5 seed. Because we hadn't lost a game. Texas A&M is really good. Arkansas, really good. They're the 1 seed. But we could have snuck in ahead of Missouri, I think, at the 5. But now we're sitting here at the 8. That 8-9 game. That 8-9 game stinks in every tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to be there. But
tough break.
let's hope that Auburn gets him a W. The last time these two teams met, Ryan, do you remember what happened? Last time Auburn played Georgia in women's soccer?
Auburn, Georgia. Was this the down a player 92nd minute goal?
I believe that's right. And that was Auburn won 1-0, 1-0. Like on the road in Athens. In this, they score, playing a man down the whole second half, basically. They got a goal at the death, as they say. So it was a PK.
That doesn't give you great confidence that we'll just go in there and win this one easily.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But it is, you know, if you can beat a team playing 10 against 11, that's usually pretty good. Or at least not concede a goal.
Sure.
You can not concede a goal playing 10 on 11 for 35 minutes. That's not bad.
How does this tournament work? Is it single elimination? Losers go home, or is there like a...
I think it's that. I think it's a single elimination. It might be... Okay. Let me look it up again.
I mean, that would make sense. It seems that's how the NCAA would do it, so...
We are... We're waiting for me to get my tabs back open. And I really think that you're talking about a sport that... You haven't heard the crazy coronavirus stuff from the soccer program? I mean, Auburn missed their games early, but here recently, it seems like everybody's been playing their games. It looks like it's single elimination based upon where I am looking. There definitely is some teams have byes, it appears. You play first round, second round. Auburn is already on to the second round, so the 8-9 game is technically a second-round game because there's an 11-14 and a 12-13 game that are theoretically the first round. We would call
it the same setup as the basketball tournament, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So the where you want to be is that 6 seed where Ole Miss is at. They got a legitimate bye, and they don't play. Or Arkansas, which has a double bye. Arkansas, Texas A&M, Tennessee, South Carolina, the top 4 seeds get double byes.
That's lucky.
Yeah, that's not a half. That's not a bad. See, and that may have been where Auburn would have been because they beat, I believe they beat South Carolina. So you're looking at those two, those back-to-back losses really crush you. But here's to Karen Hoppe. Let's go get an SEC tournament in Orange Beach. That'd be nice to get. I don't know. Last time we got one of those, but it'd be really nice to get one of those on her resume.
Yeah, for sure.
So, what's next?
Not football.
Not football. Yeah. As you might have heard, like we said, Auburn not playing again this week.
There's a decent chance we don't play until the Iron Bowl.
Well, we talked about this in the Slack. Me and Josh Black, my hot take is that Auburn might play one more game this season with the way things are going. I don't see us canceling the Iron Bowl unless, like, the National Guard comes in. Or, like, there's a presidential mandate of some sort. Or, like, the NCAA says it won't certify those wins. They won't count. And even then, I could see us playing.
Unless the playoff says they're not taking Bama unless they play the Iron Bowl.
Yeah. But I could see, like, first of all, Ryan, there's not going to be a playoff. Let's be realistic.
Yeah, I'm wondering how much longer this is going to last.
There's not going to be bowls. Who's doing the Capital One Bowl? Like, who's going to go to that? Who's going to watch it? Like, there's no way.
Right.
And we're supposed to be playing Indiana in the Home Field Bowl this year, though.
Man.
Right.
If we can't, like, get an NCAA tournament in basketball, I doubt we're going to get the Belk Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, that's the Duke's Mayo Bowl for you now.
Right. Or the...
Oh, man.
The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. I doubt it's coming off the ground this year. If we couldn't get the NCAA basketball tournament to get played. I mean, I don't see a way forward.
It doesn't look good right now with so many teams out. It's hard for me to believe that we're going to finish this football season.
Unless we just take 3 weeks off and tell every player you have to do online classes only. Please don't interact with other human beings. Get everybody on the same page and then play. Or teams have to start limiting, you have to stop the full on, if you had any contact whatsoever, you're out policy. Right. It has to be more like you have to test negative, legitimately test negative to be out. Because that's the other issue, is that it's like one guy tests positive and then his entire position group, because of contact tracing, is out.
Right.
I mean, there's no way to do it.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see it finishing out with the way, the outages of players, the players that have to be out, seems to have been kind of snowballing for the last few weeks. Yeah. And now what we have, eight teams out this week?
LSU finally admitted they couldn't play. After the news came out that they only had one available quarterback.
Yeah, they were still going to play with that one quarterback. And then three or four hours later, it was, okay, maybe we won't.
They had one available quarterback and
it wouldn't surprise me if TJ Finley just said, no, I'm not playing.
And they were going to start playing offensive players at DB too. Or something wild like that.
Kansas State and Oklahoma.
Gosh.
I feel like we've kind of had our blinders on the last couple of weeks because Auburn has done a good job to this point and had no cases. And
yeah, I think 12 schools have been doing this every week. This is every single week in Big 12.
Who's not playing? Big 10, too. Yeah, the Pac-12 just got off the ground last week and had two games canceled.
Yeah.
So we've kind of been able to put our head down and say, oh, we don't have any cases, so we can keep playing. And it's kind of coming to a head at this point.
Yeah,
and now Auburn has 9 cases, which is the first time we've had cases since what, July?
Mm-hmm.
Or August?
Yeah.
So, that we know of. Because we have had some guys miss, but, not really disclosed why they missed or whatever.
So you're still learning the playbook.
Sure. Maybe we finish it out. Maybe this gets better. Maybe this is just a little bump in the road. Maybe we call a stop to the season and then finish it in the spring. That would be really weird, but that's, FCS, a bunch of those teams played 3-4 games here this fall, and then they're going to play their conference schedule in the spring. So
if there's one thing I'm confident about, it's that they will try and do whatever they can to get the TV money from these games.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah,
I think they need to.
Right.
They obviously don't put anybody at risk, but when all of these athletic departments are, talking about running a deficit this year, it's the responsible thing to explore all your options.
Right.
So
I read an interesting article about how a lot of people are looking at that last game of the season. For us, it'd be Texas A&M, but now it's Mississippi State. And looking at that and being like, if your team is not a playoff team, quote unquote,
why are you playing that game?
How many NFL draft eligible players are going to sit that one out? They already are going to sit the bowl game out. And of course they are, especially this year. They are all going to sit the bowl games out. If we have bowl games, why wouldn't they just go, I'm also not playing this last game. It means nothing.
Yeah, these guys aren't going to want to effectively be quarantined for however many weeks over Christmas before a bowl game, if it even happens.
Right.
Not much of a reason. I'd hate it, too, because that LSU win, while if that is the last game we play this year, was a hell of a game to finish on.
Yeah.
It felt like this team, it was finally rolling.
And let's be honest.
And they were going to get a chance to do it against Mississippi State and then a Tennessee team that's struggling. You know, that Auburn could have really put together a solid month, and they're not going to get the chance to now.
And let's be honest. We want to be clear on this podcast. The worst part of this is not that Auburn – we're not going to get to see Auburn play football games.
Of course.
It's obviously that a couple hundred thousand people have died. But it does stink when – you aren't able to do things that you normally – when normalcy is taken away from you. And it's okay to be angry about the fact that you've gotten almost a million cases in the state of Texas, for instance, since this thing started. It's okay to be angry about that and also be, like, bummed that I don't get to watch Auburn play Mississippi State on Saturday. Like,
just don't be one, it's more angry important than the at other. The players that got COVID. Yeah. That's the worst take here is, oh, they shouldn't have been out.
Oh, man.
You know, being around anyone. Like, that's the worst take.
It obviously spreads. A million people have had it in this state. Like, yeah, it obviously spreads. So I think that's the – it's just dumb. It's sad that this is that we're continuing on. It's not just sad. It's tragic that what's happened to so many people's lives, people who've lost their jobs, people who have lost – loved ones, and yes, we also are grieving the fact that we're losing this football season, which is just really normalcy. We're losing more normalcy.
Right.
We're not equivocating it to the more tragic things that have happened this year. We are just adding it to the list of tragic things that have happened this year.
But maybe we finish the season out. I mean, like Brian said, they're going to do whatever they can and get this money. So, that's not like a greed, thing either. That like the money from football supports all the other sports.
And the city of Auburn, in Auburn's case,
City of Auburn's going to be hurting anyway. Because 20,000 fans or whatever is that aren't staying in town if they don't live here. Is not really going to cut it for the tourism stuff.
Right, yeah, that's the difference in having a home Auburn football game versus like having a Super Six game every weekend.
Yeah,
what is next,
high school teams in town.
What is next year? This is what I've been thinking about. Let's pretend perfect world. I don't believe this is going to happen, but let's pretend the perfect scenario. First week of the season next year, which I don't know who it's against, Alcorn State or someone, that this thing's gone. Either the vaccine exists and people have taken it, or whatever, or God removes it from existence. What is week one going to look like? Like, are people going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get out of my house?
That's going to be wild.
Is there going to be like 200,000 people tailgating in front of the Alcorn State game?
Yeah, if we're at the point by Labor Day of next year where a vaccine has come out and – not everybody, because we're not going to get into the whole vaccines thing right now, but enough of the population has taken the vaccine where they're comfortable going out and about, it will be insane all fall long.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I will be out there every weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Happy Valley, go to Penn State.
Well, that's next year, man.
That's next year. Yeah.
Well, it's next year. Theoretically, right. Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the world where the vaccine.
I'm assuming these schedules will carry on. I really don't know how scheduled games like that are going to happen because of the way this year happened and the shuffling around and stuff. That, you know, we don't know for sure that even if everything's back to normal, that it's going to be the same games that were scheduled.
Well, that was a home and home.
Right.
Whereas this year, we didn't have any home-and-homes, I don't believe.
Yeah, I think most of these big non-con games, if it's a neutral site sort of deal, it's going to be lost in the shuffle. If it's a scheduled home-and-home, right, North Carolina. If it's a scheduled home-and-home that got missed this year, I think teams will do whatever they can to sneak it back in at the next available opportunity. So, I don't know. I mean, in a lot of these schools, like, you know, we'll have the traditional rivalry that's non-conference. They'll play that every week or every year still. But the conference schedule will be interesting because there's not really a good option of saying, hey, we're just going to ignore last year, I guess, and continue with the originally scheduled 2021 schedule. I don't know.
I mean, we talked about, like, we will all come out of our shells and go back tailgating and stuff. But I will say, like, it's gotten to the point now where it's going to be weird for me to not wear a mask. Like, I've gotten so used to it that, like, early on I'd forget it in my car and get almost to the door of the grocery store and have to turn around all the way back and go get it. Now, like, I find myself wearing it like I'm driving. I just forgot to take it off.
Or no, like, not me.
Or like, I'm like, it's really weird. Like, I'll even like, yeah, it is going to be strange to me to go do public normal thing. I haven't gone out to a restaurant in Lord knows how long. It's going to be weird the first time I go just have dinner.
Yeah, I can tell you it was weird. I didn't go out in public per se, but we went to like a private dinner for a wedding that I was in. And that was just strange sitting in a booth with other people.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
And you're like doing the mental gymnastics of like judging this person's thoughts on the spot. Like, the one time I did go out, like I went out in like July to a restaurant, sat outside with someone and my brother, who at the time I was living with, so I knew what he was doing. And we thought it was safe to meet this one other guy. We go meet this guy and we're like, and the whole time I'm running through my brain like, I wonder what he's been in. Like, you think he's been taking it safe? Blah, blah, blah. Like, instead of just like being a normal person, I'm like trying to judge his quarantine habits. Is he being safe enough? Which is just a ridiculous place to put yourself in. You're sitting in judgment on other people based upon what they're doing about this virus that nobody knows what to do about.
Yeah.
I do wonder long term if this normalizes wearing a mask when you're sick.
I hope so, man.
Because it seems like
too often with colds.
Right. Yeah. Or going to the grocery store, I need to go get a couple things because I'm going to be sick the next couple days. You know, that's
fine.
Hopefully, just start wearing a mask. Or at least take the stigma away from it.
Yeah. Like, I think she's right.
I don't think so because I don't think that the reason to wear a mask has ever been properly communicated in any way for this. There are so many people that think they don't know what the mask is about. They think it's so they don't get sick and they're convinced of that. And no matter how many times you like correct them, they don't think about that either. It's not about keeping you from getting sick.
Right.
But that's not and I don't blame them because it has never been communicated. The media hasn't communicated that well. There's been no real direction from any authority on why you should do that. And
you're not talking about like a leader of a country maybe.
But there just hasn't been like
maybe refuting direct.
I haven't even heard the head of the infectious disease people. Like, he has never communicated it well and in plain English for people to understand. It's just all been a jumbled mess. And
here the radio randomly has the Surgeon General of the United States will break in every couple of commercial breaks. And he'll come on and be like, hey, here's the deal. If you love your loved ones and you want to go out and do stuff, you need to wear a mask to protect your loved ones, not yourself.
Right.
Put a mask on. And that didn't start, though, until September.
Well, that's also on the radio that no one listens to anymore. So, there should have been, like, commercials. Like, hey, I know wearing a mask sucks, but this is why you do it. It's not to keep you safe or whatever. It's just a weird, nothing about this has been handled well by anybody, I don't think.
Ed Orgeron. He's the only one who seemed like from the beginning, he knew what was up.
Of course, you know, I think that's because no one really we've been making it up as we've gone along. I think that's a big part problem. Yeah, the whole mask thing, I don't think it's going to catch on because I don't think I just think there's not enough people that know like what that's about.
Yeah. And I'll say this much. In the rural urban divide has never been more clear than the mask divide. This state has had a statewide mask mandate since July.
Yeah.
I will go to my mom's town, which is just 2 hours east of Dallas, and I'll be the only son of a gun with a mask on at the gas station. Yeah,
it was like that when I went home. Like, nobody there. They didn't care.
And it's like the governor of the state said to do it. No, no matter. Who cares?
Well, that's the problem with these mandates is you can't enforce them.
There's no teeth to them, yeah.
You can't. The police, they
for a little while we had, well, if you want football, you got to wear your mask. But, you know, that's out the window now. So
now we have football, kind of.
Had
football. All right, guys. Let's take a quick break and come back. We want to talk a little bit about what else can you do on Saturday.
I'm going to go check on Alex. I'll be right back.
All right. What time you got?
It's we're at 26 minutes.
Let's do basketball before we do Saturday.
Are you waiting for Chief to come back?
Yeah. Or maybe we'll have to.
All right, and we're back at 26 minutes and 28 seconds into this podcast. It's just rolling along. Ryan, before we get into what we're going to do next this Saturday, instead of watch Auburn football, let's talk a little bit of basketball.
So, can we pretend for a little bit that we're not going to miss any of the basketball season? Sure. Like, everything's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. And
we're going to.
I don't know. I mean,
the only way I said this in the
feels Slack, like stretch right now.
The only way to have a basketball season in its entirety, quote unquote, in its entirety, my plan would be we play each conference opponent twice, home and away, back-to-back games. In
home and away, or just you play two home games?
No, weekend? I would say home and away, so everybody gets whatever.
Okay.
But no fans.
That's what the Cuse is doing, where they're playing. You know, you're going to have back-to-back home games, you know, UAB versus NTSU. They're going to play Friday, Saturday. You know, you're going to get two home games against the same opponent, but then you're going to go on the road for two games against somebody else the next week.
Actually, that's even better. So, yes, that's the plan. You play back-to-back home games at your spot, and then you go play back-to-back away games at somebody else's spot against the same team, no fans. So you play each team twice in the conference. That is, there are 14 SEC teams. You will play every team twice.
26 games if you play them twice.
You're getting 26 games in, and then you have a conference tournament. And then you have an NCAA tournament. That's the only way to guarantee.
Do you need a conference tournament at that point?
Just to have two trophies and have more games on TV, you do. But the only way to guarantee that we're going to get all these games in is no fans, online classes only for the players, and they play two games a day. Two games a weekend at the same place. That's the only way. Whatever we're going to do, we're going to miss games. And because we're not going to do that.
I don't get why we keep adding games to the schedule. I'm like, what are we doing here?
Let's pretend like it's normal.
Jeez,
I guess. Let's pretend like it's normal until it's not. I mean,
they should just be like, yeah, Auburn's playing the Knicks on Thursday, February 5th. Might as well.
Home and home. We'll play them next year as well.
Auburn's got three games against Real Madrid. Like, we're going over to Spain.
I just keep seeing it, and I'm like, okay, I'll get excited when, you know, it actually happens.
I think the only other way you can go about it is to have essentially mini tournaments every 2 weeks, weeks, where you play like Thursday through Sunday. You play a four game round robin.
You bubble and then every you don't month, play for two basically. Weeks.
Yeah, it's in, you know, like Birmingham, Nashville, Atlanta.
Sure. Yeah.
In New Orleans or something like that.
There are ways that do it. None of the ways include fans.
The thing I will say is that there's only 13 players on a basketball team. So if it runs through your team, or if you've had them exposed, right, then it's a lot easier to do that with 13 guys than it is, you know, 75 or whatever it is with football.
Except that I think it makes, and this is not really the point, but just a thought, I think it makes predicting anything about basketball impossible. Because if you're missing two players, well, I mean, it could be two of your starters. And that's
sure
way different.
Right.
Auburn's down Sharif Cooper and Devin Cambridge. They're one of the worst teams in the SEC. But
I guess what I mean is some teams probably have already had to run through their teams.
That's true. Right.
No, I mean, LSU said the same thing about the football team in September.
Well,
outbreak number two.
Again, that's 75 guys. But and they probably
I'd also caution that, like, the only league that has done this is the NBA, and that's because they hold everyone up in Disney World for 4 months.
And bring your families down there to, I think that was to as much discourage any extracurricular activities as it was anything else.
100. Yeah, they kicked the guy out.
Plus with Disney, you can go play golf and you can, you know, it's a whole complex. It's not like you're just stuck in a hotel for 4 months.
Yeah.
Have you ever played golf down there, Ryan?
I have not. Normally, because I've always gone down there as a kid and we go to go to the parks. So, I've played. In
what games have we added to the schedule?
So, right now, I mean, Auburn's got most of the schedule filled out. Mm-hmm. I think Will was saying there's maybe one or two spots left, but there's the whole Fort Myers tournament thing, which was, you know, kind of the replacement for the Orlando event this year. So Auburn will play St. Joseph's in Fort Myers on Thanksgiving Day. That's game one. And then turn around like less than 24 hours later and play Gonzaga, which
good times. You know,
it kind of stinks having no turnaround to go play number one. But yeah, it makes for an interesting three-day bender if you're an Auburn fan. St. Joe's, Gonzaga, and then Bama on Saturday. In football, the Iron Bowl will be that.
Oh, gotcha. It's like, what?
Yeah, you play number one in both sports back-to-back days, theoretically.
Go ahead.
And you say next week, I think this just came through recently, that they're going to be going to back down to Orlando to play UCF. I would assume they're just going to stay in Florida because the St. Joe's and Gonzaga game, the 26th and 27th at UCF, is the 30th. And then there's kind of like a 2 week gap right now, which I would presume includes finals. They play Memphis and Atlanta still. That game's still in the docket on December 12th. They host Troy on December 19th. They host App State on the 22nd. And then there's the Big 12 Challenge with, at Baylor on January 30th. So that's the non-con slate right now. I mean, you're getting preseason 1 and 2. Which, you know, it's going to be a tough draw, but hopefully it gives this team a little bit of experience as young as they are before they get into the end of the season.
RPI is going to love that.
Yeah. Even if you lose those games, that looks really good for your scheduling.
Indeed.
Okay, any thoughts on those before we go to the conference schedule? Because that dropped last week as
well. We're not gonna play in any of those, I don't think. maybe the Fort Myers one. I doubt we play any of the others.
Yeah, I would.
Big time doubt.
I'm giving it a little more. I'm a little more optimistic because I'm just am that way. But I'll say we're going to play 50% of those games.
Yeah, I just hate to pour a big bucket of ice cold water on everybody, but I just feel like maybe we play the Fort Myers thing and then it's over after that, and hopefully we get conference play of some sort.
Yeah, if any game gets canceled, or any one game gets canceled, I gotta think it's the Big 12 Challenge in January.
Yeah.
I can't see conferences, you know, if there's any kind of outbreaks being, we'll still play some non-con games. Because that'll be after a month of conference play.
Yeah, you know, I am very, I don't know that I'm perplexed. I'm just reminded that people that get paid a lot of money to make big decisions don't that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean they're very smart it doesn't mean they're very smart, because they should have. Maybe they'll surprise me and they'll be like, okay, this was our backup plan, but they never should have just come out with this schedule for the conference schedule. And it's like they planned it like it was just a normal season. We were just going to have a few less people.
Right.
And it's like,
in their defense, without the wholesale change, like we talked about before, they do kind of have to plan like it's going to happen and then cancel it later. Right. I mean,
yeah, but you would think that they would have tried something a little more radical. Like what we mentioned, like two games every week, you play the same team.
I wasn't exactly expecting it from the, bastion of change SEC forefront of.
I mean, maybe they'll surprise us and that they have that in their back pocket for when this all goes to hell. But, I don't know. It seems a little short-sighted to just plan it as if everything's okay. I realize everything seemed okay a few months ago, but I don't understand why you would think that was going to happen. Why it was going to stay that way. But whatever.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing about the conference schedule, if you wanted to move on to that, is that we get, I believe we get Kentucky twice.
We do. We drew Kentucky twice again.
How many times we got Florida?
So we'll just read it off. We play everybody once except for the three teams we always get home and homes with, which is Bama, Georgia, and Ole Miss. And then our two extra home and homes this year are Kentucky and Arkansas.
Okay. Yeah, I think Arkansas is not going to be awful, but
yeah, Arkansas is I think supposed to be one of the better teams. However much you know that at this point of the year.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think this schedule is going to be really tough for Auburn. I think that Auburn is not going to win the conference in the regular season. I think there's going to be a lot of Auburn fans. This is, again, pretending that we're going to play these games. I think there's going to be a lot of Auburn fans stressed out about this team, early on especially, as they are a young team. They're going to figure out what they're doing with each other. But I think that if Auburn fans give them a chance, they're going to be a really fun team. And some of these games are going to be fun losses, which is a real thing that can happen in basketball. Unlike football. A fun loss in football is not happening for all.
Has there ever been a fun loss in football?
I would say the 09 Iron Bowl is as close as it gets.
Yeah. That's
probably it's definitely got to be at the early side of a coach's tenure where it's like, we're getting optimism. Better. This was, we're only going up from here.
I mean, 09 Iron Bowl, I thought we were going to be 52-0. So to almost win it made it kind of fun.
Yeah, it was really fun to watch, and then very frustrating that we lost because of some pick plays. But anyway.
It is one of my favorite hypotheticals. If Auburn wins that game and then turns around and beats them again in 2010. Alabama doesn't win the 2009 national championship, but then Auburn wins the 10 championship. How does that change the face of college football? I think it does. You're looking at Nick Saban without the national championship in 2009.
Not getting his first one until 2011.
Yeah. So Texas Chizik, coach. Chizik with a championship before Saban. All right. So let's now go on to, because we cannot watch Auburn football this Saturday. Unless you're like me, you might watch some old War Room Eagle YouTube videos this Saturday instead. Because you can't watch Auburn football, what are you going to do this Saturday, Chief? 3 o'clock p.m. is the Auburn game, or was supposed to be the Auburn game.
What am I going to do? I don't know. I'll have the kids. My wife might be almost home. But well, no, she'll be home. So I'll probably be kicking back, maybe scrolling through TV to see what else is on. I might check out the Masters. I'll check out the leaderboard. That's usually what I do. Yeah, I'll be hanging out at home. I might clean out the garage. Been thinking about doing that lately.
Nice. Well, let me give you some sweet, sweet action to watch, Chief. 1:45 p.m. If you've got ESPN Plus, you got Germany versus Ukraine in the UEFA Nations League.
I was going to mention that there should be some international soccer that I'd probably be into.
Yes. So.
Oh, Ryan? Ryan will be watching, you know, some podunk team versus some other nonsense team on.
Well, look, Fox Reign Sports. To Liberty with Malik Willis at quarterback is playing Western Carolina, so that's probably not even on TV.
Say no more. Liberty versus Western Carolina.
Which, hey, after the ending last week against Virginia Tech, Liberty might be appointment television right now.
Yeah, maybe.
You could go onto YouTube and watch Respect Vino, the documentary coming soon from one Jared Harper. First episode drops on Friday, but you could watch.
Is this going to be like a? It's going to be like a Mandalorian thing where it's one a week.
I believe so. It's episodic. You could do that. It could be great.
Son of Crow, is he producing it, or what's the deal here?
All I know is what he tweeted.
Is this a career pivot for Jared Harper? Where he's going to go like produce 30 for 30s for you?
He's going to be our tour director, or
it's his YouTube channel.
Interesting.
Maybe he's like a Baron Davis figure. Baron Davis got into producing documentaries there for a while, as did Steve Nash. And now Steve Nash is the coach of the Nets.
That is interesting in and of itself.
Yeah. Or you could do what I am suggesting you do and watch episode one of The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Guys, this show rules. It is... there's few things where I go into with no, there's a few times I've gone into a television show or movie with zero expectations whatsoever and come out blown away. The last time I remember it was Guardians of the Galaxy 1. I didn't even know what it was. I was moderately aware that it was even a Marvel movie. So I went in with nothing and came out loving it. This thing, I literally was just sick of the, what are we going to watch? I don't know. What do you want to watch? Conversation with my wife we have every single night. And, all right, whatever. Let's just watch this. The preview looked interesting. And it is terrific. It is a seven episode limited series on Netflix about a chess prodigy, but it's about really just like self-destruction is what it's actually about. It is terrific. It is terrific. I would recommend anybody watch it.
Is this based on a true story or is this
original? No, it's not. And to me, I told my wife this the other day, I was like, the great thing about this is it's like finally a good television show or movie or prestige drama that is not based on a true story or a comic book or a... Like, this is literally just like somebody had this idea for a show. I think it might actually have been a novel now that I think about it. Somebody has this idea and they created it as opposed to they're basing this off of
a comic book. That reminds me now that this was a novel back in the 80s. And if I read it correctly, it's been kind of bounced around through TV and movie producer hell where... Nobody would really pick it up, or if they tried to, it didn't get made.
Yeah.
And the last time it was close to getting made was in 2008, and it was Heath Ledger's like love project, where he was essentially producing it, writing it. He was going to co-star in it, I guess. And like had already started on the script when he passed away.
It is awesome. It's a great television show. Yeah,
that's one thing this pandemic may have done for us is it's going to shift a lot of money into TV, and a lot more money into TV, I should say. And we could get a lot more long form storytelling. Which I'm a big fan of long form. I know there's a lot of people that love a good tight hour and a half movie, but with some exceptions, I prefer long. I like long movies. I like series even better if they can keep their momentum. So
I think movies are better for if you just want 90 to 120 minutes of action packed, you know, some explosions, not much of a story, you know, just want to have, you know, a little popcorn flick, that in comedies. But yeah, for storytelling, I think we're at the point now where with the money that some of these studios are putting into even miniseries on TV, you can't really
be not really comedy anymore. You're not going to see a lot of movie comedies, I don't think. Those are all going streaming first now.
It's a bit of a bummer, although I'm somebody that hasn't gone to see a comedy specifically in quite a long time at this point.
And I guess my point was it not really the cinematic experience, but it doesn't need a full 10-episode season to be a good comedy. You can still do that in a movie.
A comedy premise can work over 90 minutes pretty well. But the thing about comedies also is it's not necessarily the theatrical experience as much as it is the shared experience with the audience, and that's what you lose there. But I'm taking my silver linings with all this pandemic as I can, and that's definitely one of them that we're gonna get a lot. Well, I mean, Disney they announced they were shifting money into the TV side, so
they restructured a lot of their upper management, didn't they?
Yeah, and I'll say this. I think the success of The Mandalorian had a ton to do with that as well because of the being able to use that the volume technology. I don't know. Have you guys watched the documentary about The Mandalorian?
I haven't watched the documentary, but I am aware of, like, they're doing some really groundbreaking stuff where it's not a green screen. It's a whole system where they
– Yeah, yeah. So
the actor can be in the scene.
I would definitely watch these. It's called Gallery. And you can go to The Mandalorian in your Disney Plus and look under it. They have a dome that surrounds them. Like, they shot basically nothing on location and very little on green screen in for The Mandalorian, the season one, and I assume season two. It's technology that was developed when John Favreau was working on Jungle Book, and then more so in Lion King.
Which I will stand by that being the best Disney live adaptation of an old movie was Jungle Book.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome.
But what they did is they incorporated augmented reality and virtual reality stuff and basically made it where you project exactly what's going to be in – on film on this huge dome screen, and they're like surrounded by it rather than being surrounded by green screens, and the lighting's not right and the actors don't know what to react to, and the success that Mandalorian had and that stuff working, I think, had a lot to do with it as well. And because now they see, oh, we can do basically anything for like half the price of a movie.
I'll say I'm somebody that isn't, you know, I don't know all the technical details, and I don't necessarily spot bad lighting or, oh, that's just a really, you know, terrible CGI or whatever. But
sure,
one of the things that I guess it could just be in Mandalorian with the producers and actors, but I feel like it gives those actors way more something to work with. Like,
yeah,
it seems like it's a lot easier for them to put in a believable performance, you know, just because they can see what they're interacting with.
So I've listened to an interview with a guy that was just one of the extras on in The Mandalorian, and he said like it's almost disorienting being there because you feel like in the volume you it's like you're there, and he said it was very surreal. And I mean, that goes to what you're saying, like it gives the actors feel like they're in it, and it puts them in character more than especially green screen would do.
All right. Is this Ryan, something that they're going to be using for, sorry, real quick, just are they going to be using it for all of like the the Marvel Disney Plus series, you think?
I assume, yeah. Okay. I know they've built more of these stages too. Disney has. There's one in London, I think, and there's another one elsewhere. I think there's some bigger ones too. It just made it where they can make things that look like movies at about at way less of a cost. Because the computer's doing a lot of the work.
Right.
And I think a lot of it, they just go shoot scenery places and then process the computer. It's pretty crazy. I know we're on a super tangent right now, but I don't know. It's cool.
Well, we have nothing else to talk about. Ryan, what are you going to watch this weekend?
I am going to go play golf both mornings, probably, just to get out of the house. Hopefully the tropical storm doesn't come up our way.
Is this like me during March Madness where I'm like, man, I got to go shoot some ball?
Well, I mean, we're definitely at the point of the year where, you know, you don't know how many more Saturday mornings you're going to have good weather.
True.
But yeah, playing golf in the Masters is always kind of a fun experience. I don't know. And then, yeah, I'll be sitting back and watching Augusta both days. If I have one football game I'm going to watch, it's going to be a nightcap in the Pac-12, Arizona State Cal at 9:30. Arizona State's gonna be my non-conference team this year. You know, as many games as they actually get to play, just because I'm a big fan of Jane Daniels, their quarterback. Kind of had a better year than Bo did last year as a freshman.
Big Herm Edwards fan.
You know what? I was kind of making fun of it like everybody else was last year, but it might be working. So. I didn't like him in the NFL too. He seemed like a decent person. So
I'll believe it when we have an actual real season and things work out for him. Although it's the pack, how much
anything can happen.
Yeah, how hard is it? Crow, what are you going to be doing?
Well, I'll probably go on a bike ride.
Yeah,
you're going to ride all the way down to Fort Worth and back.
No, I got a ride that I'm working on in terms of plotting out, but it's a 100-mile ride from here to Paris, Texas. But I'm not going to attempt that this weekend.
Your own little Tour de France?
Exactly, Chief. They got a little Eiffel Tower in Paris, Texas. That I want to ride too.
I bet.
Does the Tour de France go to Baylor football game?
It ends in Paris every year.
Okay.
If the Auburn at Baylor football game in 2023 or whatever it is, if that still happens, are you going to plan to ride from your house down to Waco?
Yeah, I'd do that 100%. And when we play in basketball next year, I might attempt it.
Well, that's this year.
Yeah, this January. Year. January. Yeah.
You won't get to go. That's the problem.
Why not?
To the game.
Have you thought about?
We're not going to be allowed in games this year.
Oh man, if they're going to play in Waco, they're going to have fans. Believe me.
True. Have you ever thought about putting on a Speedo and riding for charity?
I could be talked into it. I don't even want to.
there's a guy in England. He's a Everton guy, and he's walked across the entire country in nothing but a Speedo.
I heard about
Speedo this. Mick is his name, and
it's a really weird British version of Forrest Gump, it sounds like.
I would a little bit. I would do like a ride from here to Auburn.
Oh man.
To raise money for God knows what. If there were to be some charity in Auburn that wanted to hey, Crow's gonna ride to Auburn and we're gonna raise $100,000 for.
Of all the 500-mile bike rides or however far it is though, that's gotta be one of the more boring ones, right?
You could take Interstate 80 the whole way.
I was about to say.
Hey, at least it's pretty flat.
I mean, yeah. There's some hills once you get to Auburn, but up until then, it's pretty flat.
Yeah, it's pretty flat the whole way out otherwise, yeah.
All right, well, guys, let's stay safe out there. Let's find something to do.
Maybe we'll have Tennessee to talk about next week, maybe.
Yeah, funny.
And Tennessee, we're not going to know what hit them. Chad Moore, 2 weeks to prepare for this one. All right, adios, you guys.
Who knows?